CliffCentral.com.
Yes! Good morning, everybody. We are live. It is Tuesday. We're alive. Why does it so... Have I missed something? It smells of smoke outside. Is it just me? I walked out of the car. Yeah.
The rand's hit 21 to the dollar, so we're burning children now to make porridge in the morning.
Jeez. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Didn't realize it was so bad.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I thought it was just my morning cigarette, but anyway.
Good morning, everybody. What's happening? Yeah, how's it, Sia? How's it, Ben? How's it, Leanne? Hello to you, Dio, and it's pleasure to you.
Yes, hello and good morning from our little broadcast studio in Rivonia. Hell-bent and telling you what's really going on. Even if other people are ready to bullshit you from both sides.
Herman Mashaba got into big shit because he tweeted out, I mean, God forbid you should criticize Lord God Emperor Cyril Ramaphosa, hey? But Herman Mashaba was given the gears by social media. Not that that's an authority on anything, but he said the following. He tweeted out this comparison between Donald Trump and Cyril Ramaphosa. He said, judge for yourself. On one side, Donald Trump, and the other side, Cyril. So he says, Donald, reduced taxes, lowest unemployment in 40 years, stricter immigration control, consumer confidence an all-time high, economic growth, revamped medical services, declining violent crime rates, and zero violent demonstrations. And then he puts under Cyril, failure, increased taxes, highest unemployment in 40 years, calling for open borders, consumer confidence an all-time low, economic decline, failed medical services, increasing violent crime rates, and daily violent demonstrations. And people went ballistic because we've got an absolute... like a morbid reaction to any kind of truth in South Africa. The minute it doesn't fit some people's idea of how the world should work and some reality is shown to them, they just collapse into a complete heap and they start screaming and shouting about how everything's unfair and it's all terrible and it's wrong and how dare everybody get so truthful and how dare they find out what's actually happening to them instead of, you know, just letting things happen and blaming the government later on when they have abjectly failed. Well, I'm afraid you're kind of getting close to that point, you know, when you think about how government is screwing up left, right, and center. But that's not what I want to start with this morning. I mean, there's so much other stuff going on in the universe, and we can talk about pretty much anything. I've just come back from an incredible trip.
Yeah, where have you been?
Well, I was at a meeting of the Illuminati.
Oh, that's what it was.
You know, that's what we do in Monte Carlo.
I was wondering what that tattoo is you've always had on your ring finger.
No, I had an incredible, like, the most incredible experience. So I was invited on this cruise, so I obviously said yes, because what kind of idiot would say no to an invitation like that? By... you know, there are so many different kinds of options if you are a person who has, I don't know, let's say you've got a decent bank balance and you're looking at the world and you're thinking, I need a holiday right now. So many options out there, and then this is one of them, which I think may be beyond many of us, and I include myself in that. Like, if I wasn't invited on this, I probably would never have thought of it. It's like the most unbelievable 6-star experience I've ever had. There's no other way to describe it, really. I saw amazing places. I met interesting people. I had the most incredible... Just the whole thing from beginning to end was just so seamless and beautifully put together. I've never really thought about it before, but when you go on holiday, you're always running from hotel to airport to airport to getting taxis.
Yeah. Packing, you know, unpacking.
It's like such an undignified way to get around, because you have to shell out cash the whole time. You have to pack and unpack your suitcase all the time. Oh no, now I'm going to wear this jacket, but it's full of creases. I'm going to put it in the shower and steam it out for like half an hour and waste 3/4 of the world's water trying to get this thing looking good. You know how it goes.
Yeah, that part's only you, but
it's
right.
Me, because I'm obsessed with the detail. But the fact is, like, this was just effortless. You go on one plane trip, you get out, someone has taken your bag miraculously. You get to your room and it's there and you unpack once. You're on this ship for, like, this was a 7-day thing. People go for 14 days or whatever. And then right at the end, after you've had this incredibly relaxing, really brilliant couple of days, then you pack your bag again and you get back on one airplane. It doesn't make any sense to the way people plan holidays. Like, let's say some of these incredible, and I see people on social media all the time posting pictures of these amazing holidays, and they're going from, you know, let's just take the cities. So you go from Lisbon to Barcelona to southern France to Monaco to Nice to all these really interesting places. But if you're traveling like most of us would, you're running from this place to that place. You're packing and unpacking. You're
so changing much organization.
Hotel. It's a nightmare. No wonder you need something called a travel agent in the world, because who knows how you'd organize that shit. If you did it on your own, you would be in all kinds of hell, because you've got Airbnbs and, you know, you've got taxis.
Confirmation
and,
forms.
And then you have to figure out who to tip, and, you know, it's complicated. Yeah. This was so easy because all of that stuff, you either settle up front or you settle at the end. Once. There's no complicated shit going on. They take care of everything.
So how many places did you see in that time?
I saw Lisbon, Barcelona, a little town, a little fishing town called Cassis, which is on the coast of southern France. Beautiful place. And then Monaco. And in between, ate like myself to a standstill where I should be rolled into the studio this morning. Jesus, I ate. But it was fantastic. And really, it was just it was like everything packed in with none of the stress. And you see these people, because it was interesting on this cruise. You know, usually cruises are old people, and there were a lot of old
people. That was going to be my first question. What were the people like around you?
But these were mostly Americans. 60% or so of the total passengers were American.
Oh my God!
Trump's given all this money to travel with.
But here's the problem, right? Is that you'd assume the certain kind of American, but on this cruise, these are wealthy Americans. These are people who've really, they've lived well, they've made good money, they've probably worked really hard their whole lives long to get into this world, and now this is them enjoying themselves. So they're nice Americans, they're lovely Americans, and I don't normally draw the distinction because I do like Americans, but these people were, there was no shouting or screaming, no one was queuing anywhere. It felt like you almost had a private yacht, because they're 900 passengers on board, but you don't necessarily see any of them.
Really?
It's amazing. You at dinner in the dining room, it's just beautiful. It could be a scene from the 1900s on the Titanic.
So not the Clifmas cruise.
No.
Oh.
Which was a party from
beginning
to end.
It was a party.
Which is great.
But how much pink vomit can you take in the elevator? You always know what the cocktail of the day is when you get into the elevator.
So not that.
Not that one.
Which was fun. I mean, we enjoyed that, right? We had a great time. But this is totally different. This is like smart people. There were a lot of old couples and families. There were a lot of families there with kids. No screaming kids. It was not the sound of a screaming child to be heard. Whatever kids were there were like kids who are used to traveling well. They behave themselves at the dinner table. They don't scream and shout and make a noise.
Drugged, maybe?
I don't know. Probably. Who knows?
Yeah, but this is the thing when you see people internationally. When people travel, there are a lot more culture. They're more considered. Yeah. And
it's not there's not a Kalula flight to Cape Town. You know, people who've bred some new little newt into existence that they didn't really want in the first place, but they fucked and they forgot about a condom and they have no money and now they have to raise this kid, but they don't really want to, and dad's sometimes not there because he's fucking someone else.
Oh. You've had time to sit on this Kalula flight and work that all out.
Well, I did. I looked at the people and I knew straight away. So this was way more...
Okay, we're talking upper crust here.
Yeah. And
nice.
And like people from Japan... You know, like there was this old man from Japan who was, everything he did right. He had his little, he would have a little breakfast. He'd sit at a different table, but I saw him probably twice on the crew, on the cruise. He would help himself to a little bit. There was this huge buffet of food, like you can't imagine. Mm. Like if fat people were there, they would have eaten and eaten and eaten themselves to a standstill.
If they were,
there were none. No fat people. It's amazing. It's like heaven. No fat people, no badly behaved children. It was heaven for me. It was heaven.
No lines, no cues.
No cues. See, there were no cues. There were 900 guests on board this thing. You never queued for so much as a grain of salt.
But that's the beauty of it, because everything's spread out. There isn't just like one dinner bell and everyone's got the same buffet. Yeah.
Right. You,
everything's spread
and they
out.
They ring the bell and everyone comes to the trough. You know, because I've got to tell you, like, I found out that the most incredible, sophisticated place in the world that I'd never thought would be, because I'd never really given it much credit, is Barcelona.
I have to agree with you 100%.
This is some jewel of a place.
It is one of my favorite, if not my favorite place.
Why didn't you bitch, why didn't you tell me?
Oh.
I didn't know that this place existed.
You think people. Barcelona, and you know, you think loud, screaming markets. Did you have a chance to go
Spanish
to...
Spanish people fighting with bulls and stuff like that, but that's not it.
Did you have a chance to go to La Boqueria, the market?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Just unbelievable.
What is it about Barcelona?
Okay, it's the people. Mm. These people, God forgive me, I'm sorry, Spain, I've never given you the credit that you deserved. Because I always thought, you know, Spain, Southern Europe, it's kind of like noisy and...
a little bit raw.
Raw, but Barcelona has to be one of the most civilized places I've ever been in. Yeah. People they tidy up. There's no litter anywhere. These people have such self-respect. They go on little promenade walks, the whole family, every evening, like 8 o'clock. Everyone in the family, the granny, the kids, all go for a long walk. They dress up properly. People are dressed beautifully. They look healthy. Mm. They got healthy skins. They none of them seem to be like held back and burnt out and crooked.
Yeah.
And they don't have feet that point in opposite directions.
Oh. Like, that's only some of the things that you find in the market. Jeez. Crazy. And, rabbits.
I loved seeing how people can live when the entire society has evolved. They all put flowers in pots outside their doors.
There's great pride and people are just nice to each
other. There's art everywhere because they've got to a level where they're not just survival living. You know, they don't just like need to feed their face and find a warm place to sleep. Like they've got to a point where they're actually evolved enough to have beautiful flowers and a statue or a work of art or some modern sculpture, and even the graffiti is beautiful.
Did you get to see some of Gaudi's masterpieces?
Oh, wow. Okay, so here's a whole other thing. Oh. I didn't know. I sometimes think, well, you know, these are the places I'd like to go to because those are the places I'm interested in. Well, I've realized along the way that there are probably so many hidden gems in the world that you don't discover. And on a trip like this, I was really not excited about Barcelona, but man, what a place. Like, I could live there tomorrow.
Mm.
It just feels sophisticated. It feels... the people there value themselves and the world. They separate their litter. They just do everything that you would expect a non-caveman who's gotten up on his hind legs to do right. You know, it's just great to see places like that because I never gave Spain credit and I love Barcelona. I mean, obviously, I've got that ridiculous Catalan dialect of Spanish where they lisp everything. It's bizarre. It's a complete disaster. But
I just giggle the whole way through.
It is. It's insane. But the food is good. You know,
the food is amazing.
If you pick up a tomato or an apple there, it is fresh and colorful and beautiful and tastes like a tomato or an apple should. Not this third-rate shit that we pay three times the money for at Checkers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
You can just live on bread and butter there. The basics are so tasty.
And because people walk everywhere and because people, you can be outside. It was hot, by the way, really, really hot. Because people are mostly fit because they don't allow themselves to just sit and watch TV.
Mm.
They're in a good state of health. It's the healthiest city I've ever seen in terms of the way people look. They just looked healthy. I don't know if I was missing something.
Well,
by the way, can I just say that Nolo looks... what do you look so good for today? Who are you meeting?
Oh, damn, girl.
Where are you going? Nolo looks like she's dressed up for like the Oscars. What's going on with you?
It's actually a lot more gloomy than that.
Not a funeral.
No. It's not a funeral.
Thank God.
Just, yeah, I had an incident.
What?
On Sunday with my brother getting stabbed. So.
Oh my God! Now
I'm
what?
Just trying to cheer myself up.
Right? What happened, Nolo?
His friend was getting robbed.
Oh, you guys probably covered this, right?
No, they didn't.
Okay.
Yeah, I told them yesterday.
Okay, well, what happened?
His friend was getting robbed, and he decided to play hero, and he stepped in, and
shit.
He was viciously stabbed.
Where?
Cape Town.
No, but where on him?
He has two deep wounds on his stomach, and there's one on his spine. And
God's sake, so he's in hospital?
Yeah, he's in hospital. He's out of theater now.
Thank God. Is everything okay?
Not really. I mean, he still can't walk. He said he saw a physiotherapist yesterday. But, yeah.
Are you worried about that one at the spine?
Because that's the one that could cripple him.
You see?
Jeez.
This is what happens when you're a hero. The real-life heroes.
Yeah.
Shit, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, he's speaking now, so at least, you know, it was very hard to hear what he was saying, but at least he's able to speak.
What a thing to happen.
Yeah, and he's only 19.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Yeah.
So are there people with him now? I mean, like, there's family down there with him?
Friends, not so much family. My mom is in East London. I'm here.
Yeah.
And we are literally the oldest people in the family.
It's just you two.
So, yeah.
Jesus, well, I'm really sorry. Where did this happen in Cape Town?
It happened in a township called Mfuleni.
Oh, dude. Yeah. I'm so sorry. So you dressed up this morning to feel a little bit better about the world.
Yeah, well,
you look terrific.
Thank you.
Jesus, if I could look like that.
So I decided, let me just try and, you know, look nice so
you
I
look
can
fantastic.
Get through the day.
All right, well, you know what?
That's a good philosophy.
Yeah. You got to do something. You start with you.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
All you can do.
Yeah.
All right, Nolo. Hell, that's not a great thing to happen. Not a nice weekend to have. Mm. But everybody, you had Women's Day on Thursday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there was Friday, and nobody did anything on Friday, obviously.
I went to a meeting with a client.
Oh, on Friday?
Yeah, and I realized the mistake I made once I parked my car and got
there was
out.
No one else.
No one
there.
Was there.
Nothing was open.
We ended up having wine at like 12.
By the way, this is another thing about like Spain. There was this sign up in a window saying, "We are closed, holidays until like the 15th of August." They just everything's closed, and they only some places. I saw a place that was only open from 12 p.m. to 7 p.m. Those are their hours. You don't like it. We don't care about your business.
It's nice because also I'm sure there's more of a sense of community there. They will have business year round anyway.
Yeah, well,
it's not like they
I
need
suppose
to bust their balls.
No, sure, and they've got enough people who have some money to buy from them so that they don't have to be worried about it the whole time. You know, it's like you have to stay open. Like I just the story from Nolo is just like a crash into reality. You know, Jesus, that's horrible. Did I miss anything else in the news? What else has been going on? Suppose we can check in the headlines in a second or two.
Yeah.
I see there's lots going on with the NPA and all of that stuff, but we'll get into
it. And Funbrada.
Funbrada.
Oh, the appeal.
Talk about horrible people.
What is he appealing? Like his room allocation?
I thought we'd established there was no other suspect. We said from the beginning he was obviously the murderer. He's been convicted. Like, what else do we need to do here?
And where's he got the money for an appeal?
This is like when you've produced the perfect cake and then someone comes along and says, nah, it needs more icing and puts a big like dollop of brown icing.
Some
on
some gaudy decoration.
This is like getting clean balls in a test match. It wasn't a no ball and you stand there and go, no, I'm going to review that. A bit of doubt. My off stub's by the boundary, but let's have a look.
See, I didn't know what any of that meant. And to be frank,
if
you're a cricket fan, you probably thought Ben started speaking Catalan.
Yeah, that's exactly what his face
language
had.
Was he speaking?
Henry van Bredaas.
This Henry van Bredaas got some nerve, huh?
That's a good question, though, Ben. Where is he getting the money from? Who's
Uncle
funding
what's his name?
All of this?
Well, listen, remember, there's all that cash in the... maybe his sister's paying for it because she inherits everything.
Yeah, but you got to if you're in, you can't inherit the money if you're the guy who did the killing, though. I'm sure.
No,
that's
he can't inherit, but he could be getting it from a family member. I don't know how some of these people get money. I mean, like it's really hard to make money, and then you see these like entitled little shits like Henry van Bredaas, somehow managed not only to make a living, in other words, they lived pretty well. He was going on holidays and like flying in and out of Lanseria and stuff.
Mm.
But somehow
he was on a Kalula flight.
Yeah, well, but he's still
that glamorous.
He's flying around having a holiday. It's better than most people, right? And then he still has like enough cash to dip in and get some legal resources to help him appeal a sentence.
Mm.
Madness.
Maybe he's turning tricks.
When prison, you need to do a lot of tricks to get appeal money.
I mean, I think it's what 40 tricks for a cigarette.
Yes. Is that the current going? Jeez,
this economy is hurting everybody. It was 36 last day. It was 36 on Friday.
I'm not well versed in that. I'm not sure.
Anybody know what the actual turning tricks like currency exchange is at the moment?
I don't think the JSC quite cover that.
Funny. No,
no, they missed that one. They can't give buy that one a skip.
Can't buy into the turning tricks economy.
You need to add it to your Bitcoin bit.
Yeah.
Oh my God, don't talk about that. Have you seen what's happened with the cryptocurrency?
I gave up a few months ago.
Dude, it's like someone is laughing. You know, they said a while ago that the banks and the world financial institutions, the places that have controlled the money up to now, that they'd never allow cryptocurrencies to become as big as they did. And now they're pulling back and they're showing the whole world that we'll punish you if you don't use our systems.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what a lot of people are saying is happening here. I'm not a big conspiracy theorist, but I could see this happening. You know, big banks like Goldman Sachs saying, oh, all right, you want to play with cryptocurrency? We'll go in and tear it apart. And then there'll be nothing left for all those people who don't want to be in the banking world. They don't want to bank with normal banks. We'll show them. We'll just strip out everything that has value.
Jeez.
And that's what people are saying is going on. But I'm not going to get into like conspiracies. So, there is quite a lot of news. We'll get to that in a second or two. How have you been, Ass? I haven't seen you for a while.
All good.
Yeah. We had the drinking morning the last time you
were. Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a long day of drinking because I had meetings afterwards. It was a Friday. Yeah. So, it was, you know, I've only just recovered. I'm here now.
Do all of your meetings in like require drinking? Because Friday seemed like a drinking meeting. Like
actually, Ben, yes.
But that's great. It means you've got a mature client base.
Yes, indeed.
Listen, yeah. I reckon like drinking is an important thing. It really does let people... It's a pressure valve. It lets people have tough lives, man. Have a drink every now and then, just calm shit down. And you know, there are other people who will take far more hardcore stuff than that. And there are some people who will go to the driving range or... Yeah, they participate
shooting in range.
Yeah, we all have our CrossFit or whatever it is they do. So everyone, yeah, that's my point. Everyone has their thing. If you don't have some kind of pressure valve, like life is tough. Mm. Shit is hard to deal with. The economic realities, the traffic. I was just sitting in traffic again this morning thinking,
In traffic this morning, like before six. I mean, that in itself.
Which sounds crazy, right?
But yeah, it's true though.
I've worked it out now because it used to be that I could leave at a certain time and I would always get here early. Then it started changing and I realized, now hang on, there are way more cars on the road. People are leaving a lot earlier. The pattern changes, right? I'd love someone who's actually done the research, who's done the statistical analysis of this situation to figure it out for me. But this is just my thumbsuck, conjectural, anecdotal evidence. So now I have to leave 10 minutes earlier than I did at the beginning of the year. Just so that I can get here at the same time, which means that a lot more people are leaving a lot earlier. Because I think the worst thing for anybody is that feeling of being stuck in traffic. It's the most frustrating thing because you can't do anything else.
Mm.
You can't really take, you know, I'll read a book. No, because you'll crash.
Yeah.
You can do podcasts, obviously, so that makes it a little more bearable. But man, it is hard. It is really, really hard because that time you never get back.
And the whole time you realize you're just wasting it.
Exactly. Retabile says, hey, G, when are you coming back on the show? Thank you, Retabile. Well, this is the answer that you've been waiting for, I hope. I can't tell you how I love hearing Ass's voice, says Ankia. Yes, thank you. Mm. Someone's selling a Suzuki Alto with a champagne color. They wanted us to know about that. It's just come through on the WhatsApp. By the way, if you want to WhatsApp us, 0797482090. Isn't that great?
The champagne color.
Champagne color, yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
How more fabulous do you get?
Oh, it's. I don't know if it's a. They're not selling it. It's been stolen.
Oh. Well, now okay. Someone is already selling it.
Oh my God, things are. You know, it's this. This is insane. This world we live in. So hey, Gareth, I want to keep this anonymous, but I would like to donate some money to Nolo to pitch in for her to go to Cape Town and see her brother.
Look at that.
Isn't that nice? There are still some good people in the world. I can send it through PayPal. So. I'll forward that to you, Nolo, and there's somebody who wants to help you.
It's got goosebumps. That's really
nice. Yeah, how's that, huh? Isn't that nice? I think that would be great. You can go down and see your bro. Yeah, I hope that situation improves too. We'll obviously keep updated about that. Okay, so we get into some headlines.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really cool email. There are nice people in the world. All right, let's do this. Where shall we start? Let's go to... Oh, there's a Sean Abrahams story. You want to start with that?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so Sean Abrahams is very disappointed with the Concord judgment. Well, now you know how we felt about you for the last couple of years, Sean the Sheep.
Not angry, but disappointed.
So they're appointing a new... what do they call them? The National Director of Public Prosecutions. And his name is going to be Norn Shabrahams. No, remember the Apex Court found former prosecutions boss Mxolisi Ngxasana's settlement and Abrams' subsequent appointment were constitutionally invalid. Another gift from our former president Jacob Zuma for us. Now we've had to go through all of this. He resigned in what, November last year? When did President Zuma? No,
it's December.
It was this year. It was like January, February. Anyway, he's gone.
Valentine's Day.
Thanks. That was our Valentine's Day present. Anyway, he left, and now we're still cleaning up the mess. So the NPA says Sean Abrahams is disappointed at the Constitutional Court ruling, but notes it made no finding about his fitness or otherwise to hold office. Well, I can see people running to hire him as an advocate, can't you? How many successful prosecutions were conducted under Sean Abrahams? Any guesses? None.
Okay. Yeah.
Jeez, I was going to go with three. That would be triple.
Not at even. Least. Your standard's too high. Wow. That's the problem with you. So, Ngxasana has also expressed disappointment at the court's ruling that he not be reinstated, which is what he was hoping for. Look, I think anyone who Jacob Zuma appointed, and that includes Cyril as deputy president, should be embarrassed and resign. But of course, it'll never happen. We've got so much crap left over from the Zuma administration that we're going to be paying the price for. That the poor people of this country are going to be paying the price for a very, very long time. That they should, if any of them had any sense of public service, they would resign immediately and go and start a job washing the streets and picking up cigarette butts and doing things that actually make society better, because they're not doing that in their current political role. And Sean Abrahams is just the latest in a long list of these kinds of people. Tuli Madonsela has supposedly been mentioned as one of the potential new national directors of public prosecution, because again, and I this is by no means a slight at Tuli Madonsela's expense, because I think she's a great public servant and she did what very few people were able to do, and that is to stand up to crooked politicians, and we all have such admiration for her. But you see how rare people like her are, that the minute another gap opens up, people go, oh, it's got to be Tuli, because we have in the land the blind, the one-eyed is king. Mm-hmm. And like, Tuli was one of the few people who was actually able to do her job honestly and decently and pursue it for the purposes of justice. And that was as public protector. Now people are saying, well, we've got to have her as public prosecutor, the National Director of Public Prosecutions.
Yeah, she'll be playing fullback for the Springboks in a couple of weeks too. People are just so desperate for anybody.
Anyone who's got quality immediately gets mentioned.
Well, how do you think Danny Jordan got so far in life? Because the people around him were so shit.
Well, this also tells you about the nature of Twitter, because Twitter was ablaze with requests calling on President Cyril Ramaphosa to consider Tuli Madonsela to be appointed as the new DPP. It comes after the Constitutional Court ruling about Sean Abrahams. Activist Yusuf Abramji tweeted, "Advocate Tuli Madonsela is the best candidate for National Director of Public Prosecutions." Well, I mean, you know, if you're going to take advice from Yusuf Abramji, you kind of, I think he might actually be right about Tuli's qualities, but the poor woman doesn't necessarily want to be National Director of Public Prosecutions.
Yeah, she can decide herself.
Let her figure that one out, Yusuf. Musi Maimane, you want to hear about other people who don't really get very much done in the right way, has given reasons for moving away from the BE policy. The DA cannot figure out what they actually want to do about anything at the moment. They spoke in different voices about the empowerment policy, with some saying it has been ditched, others saying it hasn't. See, here's the problem. BEE, by the ANC's admission, is a complete failure. It's made a few people, a very few people, very rich, and done nothing for actual black business.
It's created a new elite.
Correct. So the DA, who you would think would go, well, if the ANC's admitted BEE is a failure, we can at least admit that. Well, no. Sorry, the DA have no ability to come up with any decent stance politically, policy position
Hang on, Gareth. That's rough. The DA's got good ideas. Then Twitter tells them it's cuck, and then they go straight
they
back
change.
And they
change. Because they're worried about a little bit of a Twitter storm.
And then goes, damn, I got it wrong again.
Yeah. How can I ever be the Obama of South Africa if they keep doing this?
Sepo with 17 followers told me I'm an Uncle Tom. I've got to go back to the drawing board.
Right. Oh, run and hide. So DA leader Musi Maimane has told Eyewitness News his party wants to move away from the current BEE policy because it only benefits a few. Well, that's fine. But that's not what people in the party have been saying, because we've heard other voices saying, no, we do want to stick to BEE. We believe in this. So nobody seems to know whether it's got an asshole here or a mouth there or a tail here.
It's very Picasso.
Or a shoulder blade there.
Yeah.
It's all over the place.
It's like
this animal.
Picasso.
No one knows what it
left in
like.
The sun.
Yeah. There was a suspect who appeared in court for an online dating scam. This could affect more of us, way more than Musi Maimane or, you know, Sean Abrams. A 27-year-old suspect appeared in the Belleville Magistrates Court on Monday for allegedly defrauding unsuspecting victims through an online dating scam.
How twisted.
Leanne, you remember
having a big penis?
Leanne had that boyfriend once who asked her for 200,000 rand, and she said, oh, sure.
Yeah, sure.
Sure you really need it?
She sent it to him, and then the next day, he was gone.
I don't understand. What did I do wrong?
You sang him a love song and everything.
Yeah.
So
it was absolute true love.
The Hawke Serious Commercial Crime Unit arrested Tochukwu Christopher Ude. Guess where he's from?
Japan.
No, he's from Nigeria, man. What's wrong with you guys? So he was arrested last week. Hawks spokesperson Captain Pilane Nkwala said the suspect is part of a syndicate operating in Cape Town. Their modus operandi reportedly includes using fake profiles on an online dating site to lure victims. I've always been interested in this. This is always curious to me.
It's happened to me, but I've never fallen victim to it.
You never handed over money?
No. For instance, there was an exchange of cell phone numbers, and a guy with a Nigerian accent was telling me he was...
I'm in love with you.
He was working as a U.S. soldier on the border of the Congo.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, but I can hear your accent, you poopal.
I can also hear you at a Hillbrow taxi rank.
Yeah.
The sad thing is there are so many people who still fall for it.
I don't understand.
What do they call it? Do they call it catfishing?
I think it's something like
stupidity,
that.
Though.
No. The process of
I think it's catfishing.
I mean,
look,
catfishing.
Again,
having fake profiles.
Just
on the
like
internet.
There are a lot of people in the world who are desperate for money, there are lots of people in the world who are desperate for love.
Yeah.
So you go onto these online dating sites or Tinder or Facebook or wherever. There are lots of fake profiles from people who are trying to either squeeze money out of you, or they're trying to mislead you and get your identity information so they can sell that to somebody or use it to fraudulently, like, hack into your accounts or whatever.
Well, they're ugly AF.
They could be ugly AF.
And they're just trying to, you know, take a chance.
Listen, it's tough out there. It's really, really tough. So police intercepted a shipment of laptops, smartphones, bank cards, and documents from a victim in Australia. Oof. Now, someone in Australia was so desperate for love that they believed Tochukwu Christopher Ude and sent him a shipment of laptops, smartphones, bank cards, and documents.
Mm.
from Australia.
I don't know how it gets to that point.
See, it's kind of, and what I was getting at a second ago is you hear about people who are desperate for love. But I do sort of run out of sympathy when you're sending a consignment of laptops and documents and cell phones. And you're a bit stupid. It's like when you're, if you keep going to the casino and losing, but you can't help the gambling. Eventually, I don't feel sorry for you. Eventually, I'm like, well, you've decided you want to lose your money at the casino.
Well, look, and I think you're stepping into addictions there. Mm-hmm. But giving someone on a dating site laptops and money and cell phones, that's not, I don't know, if it is an addiction, it's one I haven't heard of.
There's something going on there. Apparently in the Rhoda trial, this is the last story in our five things for this morning, the defense team for property mogul Jason Rhoda closed its case in the Western Cape High Court on Monday, opening up the possibility that the trial could be finalized before the end of this year. In the circumstances, I have decided not to call any further witnesses and I close the case for the defense, said his lawyer, Graham van der Spay. So remember, what they're busy trying him for is the murder of his wife. Remember, she was found hanging in the bathroom at the Speer Wine Estate?
Mm-hmm.
Rhoda, dressed in a suit, stood up as he addressed the court. Mr. Rhoda, we have come to the end of this trial. I'm sure your counsel has explained what that entails. Your bail conditions are extended. Rhoda pleaded not guilty to killing his wife and staging her suicide at the Speer Hotel on July 24th, 2016. He explained he grabbed his wife's body from the back of the bathroom door and placed her on the floor. He said that he had immediately started chest compressions and mouth-to-mouth resuscitation procedures that he had only seen in movies. And that was his defense. He said, I thought she was alive because there was a lot of spit coming out of her mouth. She was still warm as I was. The second forensic pathologist testifying for the defense said that he was 95% sure that she had committed suicide. I think he's going to get off.
Reasonable doubt.
Yeah, it's
all you need.
He's using like really vivid ways to describe.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just covering up.
Who knows? All right. Before we get to Ben, it is time for an exclusive movie premiere. This is where we get to reward you for listening to us. Denzel Washington is back. He's reprising one of his signature roles as Robert McCall in The Equalizer 2, which hits cinemas on August 24. So put this in your diary. McCall serves as an unflinching justice warrior for the exploited and oppressed, but how far will he go when it's someone that he loves? When his former agency boss and only friend is killed in an ordered hit, McCall leaps into action to avenge her death. To settle the score, he will have to face four highly experienced killers who have the same precision training that he does. Sounds like a good movie. Ooh. The Equalizer 2 is an action thriller showcasing Denzel Washington at his best in a film that has already topped the box office in the US. And we at Cliff Central have partnered with Sony Movies South Africa to give you the chance to see the movie the day before it releases to all the other people. You get a special sneak preview with some popcorn and Coke and some good company as well.
Mm-hmm. And a speech from Sia.
Because that's really the winner.
That's what you're really after.
Really?
That's what people are after, sure.
Everyone's there for a reason.
So you get to see it before everybody else on Thursday, the 23rd of August at Sterkennikor Sandton City, 8 a.m. sharp. Now, I know that for people who listen to us in, I don't know, San Diego and Kazakhstan and Cape Town and Durban, you get annoyed. But we always do these things in Joburg, but we can't do one in Lagos and in Bujumbura and
we'll send you some laptops.
Ouagadougou.
We'll send you some laptops and some pirated versions of this.
A consignment of stuff. Yes, no.
Yoji, now that I've recovered, to the anonymous, kind-hearted human, thank you so much. Thank you.
In case you don't know and you've just come in now, Nola was telling us about her brother who got stabbed over the weekend and he's in Cape Town and she can't get to him and she's worried about him. And this anonymous person who listens to us has just like said he'd be more than willing to send some money to Nola, which is really, really sweet. Shows you, again, the quality of the people we have listening to us here. It's just the best ever. All right, so listen to this. If you want to get to our movie, The Equalizer 2, email events@cliffcentral.com and get your hands on some free tickets. That's events@cliffcentral.com. Do it today. Sia will keep us up to date with how many we've got left, but if you get in early, your chances of disappointment are lower. Events@cliffcentral.com. That's to see Denzel Washington in The Equalizer 2, one day before everybody else. Okay, Bitcoin at $5,988. And Ethereum has dropped to $269. This is terrible for anyone who's held on to all of that. You know, they said HODL. Run was always telling us, hold on, hold, HODL. That's what they do. They call it because it was a spelling error some dude made once. Well, I don't know so much. Some people are probably ready to cut their losses. Just get the fuck out of there, right? Let's turn our attention to Ben. It's time for a little bit of sport. Let's hope that can cheer us up this morning. Take it away, Ben. What?
Don't I get theme music?
Well, the headlines first.
You do our headlines and then I give you the theme music. You keep changing the rules.
Oh, can you?
You keep changing the rules,
Ben. Do you know where you are today? Are you smelling popcorn or toast?
I zoned out there.
You're smelling popcorn.
Burnt toast.
That's when you know you're going to have a stroke, right?
Yeah. Worry.
Well spotted, Sia.
You're right, Ben.
I was moments away there.
At least remember he's Sia because you were looking at Leanne when you said that.
You just sat there.
Shame. Are you confused, Ben?
No, I'm okay.
Do you need...
No,
we need a curator
this.
In here for you.
Let's do this.
Let's go.
Ben Stokes' lawyer is pushing for reasonable doubt so he gets off from his affray charge. The Bulls seem to sign Dwayne Vermeulen, and Kikisa Rabada gets more awards for being amazing. Now, if you watch Suits, as I was talking about yesterday, or Sulks, however you want to watch that show, you know, if you can get reasonable doubt, you can get off everything. Well, that's exactly what Ben Stokes' QC, that's like a pompous way of saying his lawyer, basically, his barrister.
Queen's Counsel.
Gordon Cole QC has basically been saying, well, actually, it wasn't always the Ginger who's at fault here. Alex Hale seemed to kick the guy in the head as well. So there's this guy called Ryan Ali, I think his name. Important. No, he's not the famous one. Oh, sorry. Ryan Hale. So he's got a broken, a fractured socket, eye socket, because he got smacked in this bar fight.
Oh.
But now Gordon Cole QC, is basically saying that it was probably Hales' kick in the face that caused that.
Mm.
So you can't just say Ben Stokes caused all this damage. He also wasn't drunk. He was, come on, dude, blow it out your ass. It was after a cricket match. It was 2 a.m. He was out at a nightclub. You tell me he wasn't drunk. He's just there because he likes the architecture, that shade of darkness.
Yes.
The guy was hammered.
Yes.
So he's just creating reasonable doubt left, right, and center. Of course, if Ben Stokes is found guilty of everything. He could be up for 3 years of prison maximum. Obviously, it won't happen because he's a sports star, and obviously, we all know sports stars are more important in life than normal people. But he could be in the spot of doo-doo here. But now his legal counsel has just basically turned full on Alex Hales, which is a bit shitty because obviously they're mates. And now Alex is going to go like, Ben, what's happening here? Your counsel's turning on me, being thrown under the bus. But that's what happens when you go out at night looking for nothing but gobbies and just to get hammered. So, circle of life,
guys. What's wrong
with
that, Leah? What's wrong with that?
Yeah, but the thing is, that's when you roll the dice in life, Gareth. You can't just sit there in court and say, I'm just such a, I'm great. No. Someone's got to go down for this.
Right.
You can't just go around smacking people and causing fractured, broken eye sockets.
Right.
I don't think that's good behavior.
No way to behave.
But of course, Ben Stokes is involved in the current test series between England and India. The first two tests went, of course, to England. And, the selectors are saying, look, if Ben Stokes isn't in prison, he can play for us. Which I think is like how most Australians are always dealt with. And of course, he's a New Zealander, so he's not too far from that. Speaking of petty crimes, Liverpool have gone full nanny state on Mo Salah. Now, Salah, who is a human being, so therefore might make a few mistakes here and there, he was being mobbed by fans outside of the training one day in his car, and he was on his cell phone while driving.
Uh-oh.
Shock, horror. Mm. That's it. Get him deported. Hang him up. Cut his genitals off. How dare he use...
Use his cell phone.
Liverpool have turned the matter to local police, saying we're dealing with this matter through all the right channels, and if there's any additional inquiries, we shall deal with it personally. He was using his cell phone while driving. He wasn't grooming young girls into a terror cell. What the hell is this? The guy was using his phone. I mean, it's just a stupid thing at best. But this is a real story, guys. This is a real story. Mo Salah, he scored 44 goals for Liverpool last year.
Yeah.
Used his cell phone, and the club is going into a bloody meltdown.
How used his cell phone?
How dare he? I mean, look, if he was showing children like pornographic images or his own penis on his phone, sure, I gotcha. Problem. Turn it over to the police. He was probably on the phone saying, look, he's probably calling his wife saying, look, I've been mobbed by fans, I'm going to be 5 minutes late. Don't worry, I'll pick up dinner. Maybe he was doing that.
Well.
Or he was chained to his side chick. Yeah, look, this is the thing. So, Kakisa Rabada, we know he's amazing. We always forget, like, he's actually really, really young. So he's 23. And what Wisden do, Wisden is like the Jesus of cricket.
Yes.
So they've got this big book, and it's all, yeah, it's like it's very nice, and very poncy. So Wisden has said that he's the greatest young player in the world, to which everyone says, well, no shit. But, I mean, it's a great accolade to get. At the age of 23, Rabada has played all of 32 test matches, which in itself is quite an achievement. But the biggest achievement there is he's taken 151 wickets. I mean, like a couple of weeks ago, Dale Steyn, who of course was the prodigal child of SA cricket, said, like, look, he's way better than I am. And he's way better, he'll be way better than I'll ever be able to be. Which is true. So Wisden's top 10 under 23, Rabada's top, then Rashid Khan from Afghanistan is second. Aidan Markram is third, despite the fact that he can't seem to bat at the moment. But of course, you know, test cricket, this is what it's all about. Number four is Baba Azam. Number five is Kuldeep Yadav. Number
what?
Six.
Kuldeep Yadav. Yeah. That sounds like
how deep is your love?
Number six is Rashid Pant. Number seven is. I'm reading this. Yeah. Number seven, Kusal Mendes. Number eight, Matt Renshaw. Number nine, Lungi Ngidi. And then Shadab Khan. Those are your top 10 Shadab under 23 Khan. In the world. They're about as like head and shoulders. I mean, if you were just have like the best of the best of the best who are still young, which is, you know, he is. He's just incredible. He is second in the test rankings right now. James Anderson bowled well at Lords, which is like pretty much all he does. And yeah, he's number one. And well, the other rankings involved. I think that's that criminal Steve Smith is still number one in the test rankings.
Oh, really?
It's a bit strange.
Oh, good for him.
But then again, like, there hasn't been a great deal of test cricket since he cheated at Newlands. The Bulls rugby, so they seem to have signed Dwayne Vermeulen. You think, how the hell did this happen? Well, I mean, Western Province Rugby Union, they're not exactly like the best when it comes to getting things done. So you've got to think, like, if it was down to the Bulls or the Stormers, that's Western Province, Dwayne Vermeulen would make it rain all day on the latter because that's what he calls home. So there's no ways that the Bulls offered way more money than the Western Province. Or maybe like they had money on the table and then human Jabba the Hutt, Theo Wakefield said, no, I need 17 business class tickets and a trough for my house. Because, you know, he's just such a parasitic administrator. I mean, this guy will do anything for a free lunch. /7. So that's it. Dwayne Vermeulen will not be playing for the Stormers next year.
Okay.
And if Netwerk Fielen Twintok say it, then you know it's legit. So yeah, I'll be playing for the Bulls. Which will be, yeah, that's good. He's 32, currently playing for the Kubota Spears in Japan. And that's it. So that's where he'll apply himself to SA Rugby. And the Bulls still haven't actually got a coach. Mitchell's given him the arse. He said, look, I'm out of here. I'm going to earn some pounds. The big candidates here are Jimmy Stonehouse, who definitely should be it. Victor Matfield, who is going to become a coach. So, yeah, he's keen to get in the mix. John Dobson, who's been great for Western Province. And then Javis Ferri, who was good for the Marties. So that's what the Bulls are looking at. They also don't have a CEO, basically, because Barend van Graan will be vacating in January. So the new CEO will have a say in the new coach. There's a lot of...
Like Barend, one of your exes.
There were two Barends, I think.
So there's a lot of... It's like going to an Eyes Wide Shut party. No one knows who's who at the Bulls at the moment. And that's pretty much it for your sport. There's Rugby Championship this weekend, but we'll get into that closer to the time. SA will be taking in Argentina, and they'll be taking place in Durban. So if you are in Durban and you're looking like you have no plans for Saturday,
yes.
Well, go to the Johnson Kings Park Stadium.
Oh.
It's important to always mention Johnson.
You've got to have a Johnson in there. How's your Johnson?
Put a Johnson on the weekend.
There we go.
Yeah. Take me down to Johnson's Kings Park.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody calm down. So a little bit later on, we'll be meeting Lindiwe Faith Mokate, who's a former commissioner of the South African Human Rights Commission. A really interesting story. Spent 18 years in political exile in Africa and the UK, where she was schooled and she worked. And she's got a really interesting life story. We'll also talk to her about what the Human Rights Commission do. And so much of what they do, I suppose, goes unnoticed or gets misunderstood by people. You know, they're one of our Chapter 11 institutions. And the South African Human Rights Commission have done some incredible work, some very, very good work that I suppose many people just don't know about because they don't scream and shout about it, but it's worth finding out. We'll speak to her, get to meet her a little bit later today. We'll also talk about some of the stuff in the news, take your calls, take your thoughts. We're back in live and ready to rock this week. I know last week a lot of people took Women's Day off and a lot of people took Friday off. If you did, don't feel guilty. You know, you deserve a holiday every now and then, especially around this time of year. It is the shittiest time of the year in terms of climate. I always say that because my birthday is at this time of year, and it's the wind and the cold
and the dust.
And I got back, and my car looked brown. And I remember I didn't have a brown car when I left.
Was it champagne in color?
It was champagne in color. I thought someone had hijacked it and put a different one in its place. Anyway, so if you're putting up with all of that, you probably deserved that holiday more than you think. And I hope you maximized and utilized the time to your own personal satisfaction. That's all that matters, really. If you did nothing productive, that's also okay. So, we'll take your calls. You know what to do. 0861-555-189. And if you want to get us on WhatsApp, 0797482090. Give us a call. We got Leanne, Ben, Sia, and Nolo's taking your calls. So tell us what's up. Tell us what you want to talk about this morning. Maybe you've got some questions for us. Maybe you've got some comments on some of the stuff in the news. You are welcome to take the lead, however you would like to. So, of course, we don't turn a blind eye to stories in the news. We don't turn a blind eye to, you know, some controversial things that happen around us. And we don't turn a blind eye to Taylor Blinds, who this week have proposed that we discuss something really interesting. I think it has to do with something that we all perhaps take for granted. And it's there, and they say that one day it'll, you know, monstrously transform into this huge, what they call a red giant, and consume us all in fire. But for now, it's our friend, the sun.
And for
at least a couple of million years, we've got a friend. And it keeps things warm and it keeps things lit and it allows energy to go from plants to animals to us. So we owe the sun a lot, and we'll talk a little bit about the sun because they say a million Earths could fit into it.
Wow.
And there'd still be space left over. It travels at 220 kilometers per second. That's faster than your car, boot.
Yes, see.
To where? Where is it traveling?
Just flap it.
It's not towards us, is it?
We're moving away from the center of the universe, of the galaxy. We're being spiraled out, Ben, at a speed of no less than 220 kilometers per second, which technically means we're also moving at that speed because we can't pull away from the sun. Its gravitational force keeps us in orbit.
Mm. Yeah, you know,
so
when
the sun moves, we move.
When you've got a gravitational force, you're serious.
Oh, yeah.
You're a big deal.
You know, you're a big deal is exactly right, because mass is what gives you a gravitational force.
Correct, Gareth.
The more mass there is, the more gravity you can exude. The sun also is the one of the biggest stars in our solar system. Well, it is the biggest star in our solar system, but in our galaxy, it's certainly one of the biggest. And we will talk about the effects of sunlight and why we need blinds and shutters and window dressings of various kinds. I know, because it fades everything. If you have open windows and you have anything from carpets to furniture,
wooden floors,
everything, it fades them if you don't protect against that. So we'll talk about that in a little while too. And you know what to do. Get your Tuesday off to a good start and make sure you listen to a range of terrific podcasts. You can find all of them on cliffcentral.com this morning. Any particular decisions around the music for this morning? I haven't given any thought today. Anyone want anything?
What were you jamming to on the cruise?
Let me think.
If you like pina coladas.
Oh, no. I listened to... No. Funnily enough, no. I listened
that
to something very cool.
My jam.
So I got into Apple Music, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is very... I had such a good time. Because they had Wi-Fi on this ship.
Ooh.
So you can go into Beats 1. And I was listening to a hits show on Beats 1. And they had... some stuff from Drake, which I thought was pretty good, and I don't normally like Drake, so I was quite impressed that I'd found a song I liked. Let me just Shazammed a couple of songs, too. Hang on a second, I'll find you something now. Let's see.
It was a Nicki Minaj and Lil Wayne.
No, wasn't that one. Here, listen to this. This is a pretty cool song. Let me get this up for you quickly. As he
clacks away.
You'll have to just wait. I know, I hammer away at my keyboard like a chimpanzee on Friday.
As he builds anticipation.
You're running out of ink.
Shut up, all right? Damn it. Sometimes people expect too much all at once. Give me a goddamn chance. All right, here it is. Listen to this. It's from Virus and Maxi Divine. It's called My Train. This
oh.
Is cool. Yeah.
Nice.
It is for a Tuesday morning. Let's go. Get your day going.
CliffCentral.com.